have just as much a testimony as people that went through bad things. You don't have to be a drug addict, prostitute, whatever, all these things to have a testimony. You just have to know him, what he's kept you from, what he's done in your life, and what he's going to continue to do in your life. So today we're talking about the importance of our witness, that testimony. And regardless of how drastic or how boring that you thought your life was prior to your relationship with Jesus, we all have something that others need to hear. I'm convinced, it blows me away. Sometimes I know when I get to talk with people about insignificant things, and they'll say, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And I'm like, really? I'm surprised. Simply because God knows what people need, and you think that what you have to share isn't worth anything, but to them it could be invaluable. See, when we start to compare our lives to others and feel like we have nothing to give or share, not only do we lose, but so do those that need to hear what we have to say. That's why the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:14, when he was in Rome, and he was telling the Roman believers that he said he was under obligation to not just to talk to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, meaning the other people, the people on the street, the people that were outside of God. He said, I'm under obligation, he said. He said, the educated and the simple, it didn't matter to him. He was under obligation to speak about what Jesus had done in his life. Here's what he says in Romans. He says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed. I love this. This part, man, this is the clincher. I am not ashamed. Say this. I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed.
Good. Of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Who's the Gentile? Us. Unless you're Jewish. Us. For in the gospel, righteousness from God is revealed, righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it was written, the righteous will live by faith. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God for salvation. That's amazing. That's a miracle. People say, oh, I don't see miracles. There's one. How many here are born again? You ask Jesus in your heart. You've been forgiven, all that. Come on, raise your hand. You're a miracle. You've just already experienced one miracle, whether you got not anymore. You got that one, and that's the greatest one, because that's the one that's going to take you all the way. You know, that should be our motto, shouldn't it? For I am not ashamed. Wow. And you know yourself, there have been times in your life where you've had opportunities to speak up, and if you're a believer, you've had opportunities to speak up, and you just kind of shut down because you weren't sure if people would receive what you were going to say. Even though God opened the door, and he's like going, hello, now's the time, 1, 2, 3, jump, you know? And you're kind of like, ah, yeah, 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 because you're afraid, you know? Maybe they're a little drunk, maybe a little this, a little that, but whatever, you're just afraid. There's such power in the declaration that there should be the way we want to live our lives, unashamed before men to represent the King of Kings. You know, in drawing near, that's a Bible study we're doing on Thursday nights over at our office at St. Peter's Drot 6, about drawing near to God. We've been talking about what it means to fear God, which means to honor him, to respect him, to rever him above everything. That's fear. It's not fear like, woo, it's fear like, yes, Lord. That kind of fear. And, you know, if we fear man more than we fear God, then our faith is worthless. And our relationship with the Lord is also jeopardized, that's for sure. Because here's what it says. Listen to what the Lord says about it, Luke 9:25. He says, What good is it? It says, for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self or soul, you could say. If anyone is ashamed of me, here's the clincher, it's another shame, but it's a reverse. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory. See, Jesus is returning for the believers. And you could say, yeah, it's a fairy tale. Well, whatever. I believe this. I believe that this was written over thousands of years by people that didn't have telephones, didn't have computers, didn't have barely anything, a goat to ride on maybe. And yet it all lines up. Now, you can call that chance, you can call that luck. I call it God, and I call it truth. If any was ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and his holy angels. Our faith is worthless when we are ashamed of the one that loves us the most and died for us, and the one we profess, supposedly profess, right? So when we fear the Lord above what man thinks or can do to us, then when opportunities come, we will be willing to share the power of the witness. The witness of what? What Christ has done in our life. Every one of us, I mean, I could stand here and talk for some time about all the stuff he's done in my life and all the trash he's brought me through, believe me. It would take three services to do that. And there's some of you here that could stand up and do the same thing. And I've got several people here today. Now, I've got three people and that are going to share their testimony about what God... Testimony is just a fancy word that says your story about what God's done in your life. What it was like before you knew Jesus, how he transformed your life and where he's taking you. Because people need to hear what's going on in your life. Because you know what? What's going on in your life, maybe God wants to do in their life and they're missing something. And so we have three people that are going to share today, possibly, if we don't run out of time. So bear with me, people that are supposed to share, if I only call on a couple of you. But I want to call, is Claudia here? Where's Claudia? Oh, she's right in front of me. Where can I? It's funny. Well, no, it's better to be first. It's better to be first. Come on up. It's kind of funny because when she came in this morning, I said, well, you know, we have several people. She says, well, you know, if you don't have time for me, it's okay. Because if you're like me or Claudia or a lot of us, really, it's not really comfortable to stand in front of all of you and look at your faces and try to talk to you about personal things, you know? But let me use this, I think, if this will work. Uh-oh. Okay. And so don't be nervous, just be yourself. And you know, it's an important story to tell. So, hey, Luca.
Hey, Luca's going to be next to me.
Yeah, he's a support for Mom.
Well, actually, my story is how I became a Christian. And it happened when I was like 12 years. My mother started going to a church, to a charismatic church. And then she started, you know, with Jesus here. Jesus, he did this for me. He did this. Then my stepfather started going too, and they would get together and sing for Jesus. And I was like, they brainwashed them. Why do they do that? And then with my brother, he was going to go to a retreat, and I said, be aware that I don't wash your brain too. And then he went for the weekend, and when he came back, he was brainwashed. So I was the only one at home that was normal, I thought. Until one day, there was a missionary, and this woman approached my mom, and she said, I would like to go to your house and pray with your family. And then, yeah, I was at home, and yeah, I had to be polite, so I also came to say hi. And then she said, let's pray, and I was like, oh, no. And before that, my parents are divorced, and I was very angry about it. I said, God, if you really exist, how could you do this to me? I'm a little girl. I never did anything wrong to you. And here I am with this guy that I cannot even stand when he breathes. But nobody knew that. It was only me in my room. So when we were praying, this girl came to me, and she put her hand in my heart. And then she started praying, and then the Holy Spirit was talking to me and said, that was the family he had given to me. And he healed my heart, all the hate that I had, everything I had against my mom. And yeah, because in a way she did it to me. I had to put this guy in the house and him. And you know, it was so wonderful because I forgave my mom. She forgave me I was not so good. And all our hearts were healed. And that those are things that only God can do. And to know that he was my father, and although I didn't have my real father, he was the one that had been always with me. So that's how I became a Christian, and my brain was not washed. Oh, and another thing. they told me something when I was very young. They said, this is for all the ladies, pray for your husband and ask God what you want. And I said, really? Yeah, you can ask him whatever you want. I said, okay, I want him blonde, blue eyes. I don't want a Latin one because they're too machos. And my mom said, where am I going to get her a guy like this in here? But God knows, so that's my husband. He's blonde, blue eyes.
All right. Thanks, Claudia. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? Yeah. Yeah, you know, the thing is, if you're faithful, the Bible says if you're faithful in little things, God will give you much more. And I believe as we step out and just begin to do little things for God, God will build our faith and the momentum and our confidence, not to be arrogant, but just to share something that's valuable. That's valuable to me to hear that. And I'd love to hear every one of your stories. As a matter of fact, we have something at Damascus Road called Your Story at DamascusRoadIC.com. Your Story at DamascusRoadIC.com. And yes, got kind of a... And it would be really great for you to take like 1 minute, 30 minutes, whatever you want, a minute a day, write it out, and send it to us. Because it would be fantastic just to hear what God has done or is doing or is going to continue as well to do in your life. So send us that stuff because we love it. It builds us up and makes us realize that God is really doing something in our lives. Our testimony validates the word, you know? It validates the word. When we speak forth the things that God's done in our life, and people going, yeah, here's this book. You can read all these dusty, dry pages, blah, 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 blah. But the minute you start to talk about what God's done in your life, you know, I could preach. Some of you go, yeah, I know. I could preach all day, and people would be sleeping. But the minute I start to share about, hey, let me tell you something about happened when I was blah, 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 and I was doing this crazy thing, and people are like, ding, and the eyes come open, because people are interested in the truth of what God, if God is real, then what did he do for you? And if he did that for you, maybe he'd do it for me too. Is that not the way you think? That's the way I thought. I mean, I had a lot of years not knowing Jesus Christ, and man, I thought, same thing, blah, 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 you know? And then I started to hear the voices of people that were speaking out and declaring, validating God's word by their own life because God had done such great things for them. Normal people that you'd pass on the street that you just would say, oh, that's just, you know, whatever. And they got these stories of faith that just build you up. It gets you to think, like, maybe God could do that for me too. Wow, what a blessing it is to be, and fulfilling it is to be used for his glory. You know, there's nothing like it. The Bible says this too, and this isn't in on the screen, but says, you know, because I think the big thing is fear, isn't it? A lot of times we think, oh, people aren't interested in what I have to say, or if I say this, they're going to label me, or they're going to be rude to me, you know, and that's always possible, I suppose. It says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. It's that not being ashamed thing, you know? And there are times that people are going to give you a hard time. I've had people throw things at me. I've had people do things. It's like sticks and stones can break my bones. You know, it's like people can do those kinds of things, but is he still not worthy? I mean, even if our life was called to task for something, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and the salvation for all them that believe. You know what I mean? It's the power of God. It's kind of like, where are they going to send you? To heaven number two? I mean, how bad can they hurt you, really, if you know Jesus? That's what I'm thinking. I used to make fun of church and Christians before I had a real encounter with that most important person of history, Jesus Christ. And he is the most important figure in all time. So often I think that we listen to a lie from the enemy that tries to tell us that what we have to say is not worth anything. He tries to diminish our effectiveness, you know? And I believe that God brings us divine appointments. I was sharing with someone the other day, I was walking out in the street and we were flyering for this event. These flyers right here. I passed this little lady, she was coming my way, she's pulling a little cart, you know, bundled up, sort of. It wasn't really that cold, but you know, older people are, they're always cold. She's walking by, and sad, it's true. And I noticed her leg was kind of bandaged up, and she came up, I always give people things on the street if I'm doing that, and just, you know, I gave it to her, chudamidach, and, you know, invited her, and she said, she says, ich bin a Katholik. She says, I'm Catholic. I said, well, that's good. I said, you're invited. And she said, well, she started trying to explain to me the problem with her leg. Basically, it was diabetes. Sugar, she was talking about, diabetes. And I offered to pray with her. Now, you know, I don't always just go down the street going, hey, can I pray with you? Hey, can I pray? But this lady was right there and right in front of me. And she just told me what was wrong. And I'm like, if I have the power of God, if I really believe what he said is true, and if God says he wants to use me to do these things too, then shouldn't I at least offer? Which I did. And she reminded me again that she was from the Catholic Church. I said, that's good. I said, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Do you believe God heals? Yeah. I said, well, that's what I want to do is pray for you. And she wasn't comfortable with it, you know? And I said, so do you mind if I just pray with you, for you after you leave then? Is that okay? I just wanted to know that I believe God to do something in her life. And so she walked away. I kind of stumbled around while I was walking to the other houses and prayed. You never know when God's going to give you an opportunity. But the thing is, we'll be faithful in little opportunities, little times, little things. I call them divine appointments, you know? Divine appointments, things that you couldn't set up, you couldn't plan for, but God just provides the opportunity and he shows up. That's what happens. You know, the thing is, when we talk about our testimony, we're talking about the what, the how, and the now. In other words, what did Christ do in my life? What was my life like pre-Jesus? You know? Why would I want to change? The how. How did it come about? How did it happen? What happened? How do I know it changed? What was the difference? And then the now. What difference is it making in my life to this day? How has it transformed my life? Those are the three things. The what, the how, and the now. And I would that each one of us, you know, I don't. If you're a believer and you're here and say, I don't know if I could give a testimony. Yeah, you can. Just look at the what, the how, and the now. And you can figure out how you can help someone else, because it really is about helping someone else to go through what you maybe have already gone through. Here's someone with a story I want you to hear. Dominic, can you come up? Dominic Rogmans. All right. And we would have clapped for you too, Claudia, but you were just so close, but he's got to walk all the way. It's kind of awkward. Today, right? Sure, sure.
Can I have the stand?
The stand? Wow, you're going to like dance and stuff? Okay.
Favor.
All right.
Hi, everybody. First of all, I want to thank you, Kent, and the worship team for the great work you're doing. I'm happy I can share with you about how I met Jesus. I met him actually in a place and a situation that was very similar to this. I wrote it down, so I won't leave anything out. Good morning. My name is Dominic. I wanted to tell you how I met the Lord Jesus Christ only a year and a half ago. Before that time, my life was a mess. I was a heavy drinker. I was addicted to marijuana. I'm from this area, so there's no surprise there. A lot of my friendships were actually based on using and abusing substances and each other. I hopped from job to job, from city to city, and from country to country eventually. Starting over again and again is easier than facing yourself. Until April last year, I was a skeptic, and there's no doubt in my mind. I would have laughed if you told me I'd be standing in front of you and here today. I was a skeptic. I was looking for a spiritual balance. And so I found myself traveling in Tasmania. I was tired from being overworked. I was tired of always being lonely, tired of being addicted. And I was tired of backpacking my way through life. Outwardly, I was tough, but inwardly, I was shouting for help. And I found myself getting drawn into this church building on the island of Tasmania. There was nothing special about the building. It wasn't a remarkable piece of architecture, but something there drew me in. And I went up to the door and I heard singing inside. What it was basically, it was a door with a middle piece, and then there was two rooms left and right. So I went into the first door. I saw there was singing in there. I realized it was a church service, and my first reaction was to turn around and leave again, as this was not the place for me. But an elderly lady, she noticed me at the back, and she warmly welcomed me, waving too warmly to resist. And so I took place with her and her husband in the back. What happened there, as people were singing and giving their praises, is that I suddenly realized that Jesus is real, that God is real, and I knew I wasn't exactly living a role model life. It's hard to describe for me the scene that was going on, but the whole experience was so overwhelming to me. The shivers on my back, the soothing feeling on my forehead, and the fact that I was crying like a baby. It was the single most powerful experience of my life. I couldn't speak out Jesus' name for the next months without having tears rolling out of my eyes. I felt so sorry for being unworthy, and I knew He already had forgiven me. So I only just recently learned about Jesus, and I just started my personal relationship with Christ. And if you're new here today, I want to encourage you to do the same, because Jesus is alive. He's real. He's in this book. He's in this room now, and He wants to be in your heart. And in conclusion, I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine in Australia who was a mature Christian. He was helping me as I was struggling with many things for the first couple months. And he told me this. Salvation basically is like this bottle of water. God made it. There is nothing you can do to make it yourself. God made it, and it's available, but you need to reach out and grab it. Thank you for listening.
Anybody here like to fail? I didn't think so. Anybody here like to be successful, to overcome, to win at things? When you play games, you like to win and stuff. There's a verse here in Revelation 12:7. I'm going to jump down to that. Woo! There was a war in heaven. Anyone throwing up yet? Okay. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, meaning the dragon, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him." This is the part. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by their word of the testimony." Read that with me. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you, is filled with fury, because he knows his time is short." Why is his time short? Because Christ is returning. And Christ is victorious. And he's coming back for an overcoming church, a believing church, a testimonial church, a church that's not ashamed. They overcame him. So if you want to know, how do I make it through life? How do I make it for over the lies of the enemy? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Two things. It's like a double-edged sword. You know, the sword of the Spirit is called the Word of God. It's this book. It's the Word. Jesus was the Word. It's the Word of God. And when Christ spoke it, it cut once. It's like a double-edged sword. When we speak it, it cuts again. And we need to use it that way. They were came by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. One of my favorite verses is in Acts 26, 17. Jump to that if you would, guys. I love this verse. I am sending you to them. Who's I? That's us. Who's them? The people that don't know Christ. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. See, God wants to use our story. God wants to use us to touch people with the timeless message of love and forgiveness and grace and triumph that only can be accomplished. Like he said, God made the water. Guess what? You can't make it, but you have to take it. And what he wants to do in our life is to offer that water to people that don't yet know him. And our testimony is powerful. And we cannot be quiet. We must stand up for Christ. Remember the what, the how, and the now. May I also say, some of us that are born again here have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So to use those terms, we say born again, saved, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It means just to ask him into your heart to make you a new person. Ask for forgiveness. And he said he'll come in if you're serious. It's what he's done for me and what you've heard about in these other stories. But some of us have yet to be empowered with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to do that today because of time restrictions. But I would say, you know, in Acts 1:8, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witness. My witness. You know, I've got to... I don't know about you, but when I look out across the city and I see people that are wandering around, I see people that maybe come in and out of church buildings, but it's just a sterile experience. You know what I mean? It's dead for them. And I think, where's the relationship with Christ that they're missing? Where's this life? Where's this abundant life the Bible talks about? Where is the truth and the reality, the victory that we're supposed to walk in? And God wants to use us to touch. And if we don't have a heart for the people out there, and hopefully some of the people that will be coming in here later today, and if we're not willing to share the most priceless gift of all that Christ has given us, then he says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I've got to be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. When I come back, he says, how can I call you mine when you're ashamed to know me? When you're ashamed to tell anyone that you love me? When you're ashamed? So I just want to encourage you, be bold. Ask Christ to give you the Holy Spirit, you know? If you're already born again, ask Christ to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He can do it in the bathroom even. Jesus doesn't care. He cares about the heart. And look for ways that God can use you in little ways, and God will give you more. Some of you I've talked to said, well, you know, I just wish God could use me more. I want to be used more by God. But and I want my answer to that is, what are you doing now? What are you doing right now? What are you doing for him? What little things can you do? Are you being faithful in those little things? Because God says, if you're faithful in little things, he'll give you much, much more. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone that is in this room. I thank you for Nico and the people at Dinahimo and the Raiden de Jarek, the people, and Gael and her band, and others. But God, I ask that you set apart, you said in 1 Peter, to set apart in our hearts Christ as Lord and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for this hope that we have. God, that we might, it just might burst out of us because of the sincerity of our love for you, that we are not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation for all them that believe. And God, our testimonies can be powerful when you anoint them and when they come from a heart that wants to give. And I would say today, if you are under fear, intimidation, if you feel like your heart for lost people isn't where it needs to be, if you feel like you lack confidence.